In this episode of the Flybrother Radio Show, I chat with international best-selling author and multi-hyphenate travel maven Lola Akinmade. Born in Nigeria and based in Sweden, Lola is an award-winning visual storyteller and entrepreneur, having dispatched from over 80 countries around the world and having been featured in National Geographic, The New York Times, The Sunday Times, The Guardian, and many, many, many more. Lola's five published books spanning photography, travel narrative, and fiction include her newest novel, Everything Is Not Enough, now available online and at bookstores, and she runs photography experiences around the world through Geo Traveler Media Academy, helping the next generation of travel storytellers put the heart back into the craft. We talk about me flubbing the title of her book, personal motivation in the face of perceived setbacks, staying the course and staying grounded, optimizing your visual storytelling game, life in Sweden, and more. Let's fly with best-selling author and travel maven Lola Akinmade on the Flybrother Radio Show right after this. The Flybrother Radio Show is brought to you by the Monterey Bay Aquarium, where you can experience the wonder beneath the waves and celebrate your connection to the ocean. Learn more about how you can protect the ocean that connects us all at MontereyBayAquarium.org/share your voice. And remember, that's Monterey with one R, not two. MontereyBayAquarium.org/share your voice. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Flybrother Radio Show. I am here with one of my very, very best friends, Ms. Lola Akinmade. I don't know why I felt
that. Thank you. It's always so great to be here with you.
Thank you, Lola. Just briefly, for those who don't know or who need to be reminded, Lola is an award-winning visual storyteller, international best-selling author, and travel entrepreneur. She's dispatched from over 80 countries around the world, and her work has been featured in National Geographic, the New York Times, the Sunday Times, that would be London, The Guardian, BBC, CNN, and a whole bunch of other outlets. She was named a 2022 Hasselblad heroine and the 2018 Bill Muster Travel Photographer of the Year. She runs multiple businesses, including a creative storytelling agency. She is also now about to, she's working on her third novel. She runs her own online academy, Geo Traveler Media. Lola is a killer in all the best ways. She's a loving killer.
Thank you, Lola. I stay busy. That's all I say. Listen, she stays busy.
And have always been that way. You have always been that way. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for being here on the Flybrother Radio Show just to talk about what's coming up for you and what's next.
Yes, yes. No, thank you for having me. Just super excited. Yeah.
Of course. So your most recent novel, which is your second, and you it came out just a few months ago, The World Is Not Enough, which really does kind of sound like a James Bond title.
Everything is not enough.
That is a title.
Because everything it does sound like enough. A James Bond title.
And The World Is Not Enough is the James Bond movie.
Yeah. See, it's so interchangeable. They sound similar.
It's true. But you know what? It's funny because you've got these characters that, you know, are living in Stockholm, which to most of us is still an exotic kind of place. It's got some mystery and intrigue. You've got a little bit of light villainy in there. It's very cinematic, this universe that you've built, which is exciting. And, you know, so for those of for folks at home who haven't had a chance to read, what is the story that you're telling with Everything Is Not Enough?
So, absolutely. So, with Everything Is Not Enough, we meet three Black women in Stockholm at various transition points in their lives, right? So, we're just meeting these women where they are making mistakes, making horrendous decisions, and then you, as the reader, are put in the position of either giving them grace or processing them through stereotypes. So this book really is about how these women are navigating life in a predominantly white society, how they are trying to self-actualize, and if you as the reader is willing to give them space and grace to self-actualize while making mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, and I think, you know, it's important to note that this is the second book with these characters. And, you know, this is, so you're already building your cinematic universe, the franchise. The first book is called In Every Mirror She's Black, which is incredible.
Yes.
So I encourage everyone to run out and buy it right now to your favorite bookstore, or which may be online. But, you know, I find it exciting simply because I've lived in Stockholm for a little bit. I have been kind of privy to the community there, and it's not. And I think it's also important to note, you know, when people write novels, it's almost never that person's story. There are elements that they may be able to relate to, but you can't assume that. Oh, Lola, which one are you? None of them.
Exactly.
But, you know, there's an understanding of the kind of life that these women may be living. And I, again, having been to Stockholm several times, having, you know, been around and connected somewhat to you and your community, I am able to have those points of relatedness, relationship.
Yes.
And relativity. And so there's resonance there. And that's what's exciting, you know, for me as a guy, you know, it's not that I've embodied these women's lives, but so what is, I guess, the most resonant aspect for you? To clarify that a bit more, what is the inspiration for both of these novels?
Yes, no, absolutely. So the inspiration for these books really is about observing Black women in Europe, how we move and how we move differently than Black women in the US or the UK, if we are given space to really fully thrive instead of just kind of surviving day to day. And so what I wanted to explore is the dynamic of people saying, oh, Europe is so much better in many ways, you know, free healthcare, free this, free that. But then saying, what's the trade-off? Is it that you're trading comfort for self-actualization? And if that's what you want, that's okay. But and so with these books, what I wanted to show was that first, Black women are all very different. We have different values. We come from different backgrounds. So we don't automatically have to be friends. We may not automatically understand each other, our struggles. But the one thing we all understand is how we are treated upon sight. Because that's the first thing you see in every mirror she's black. And so when we leave the house, we are already met with the stereotypes that society has created on our behalf. And you can imagine how exhausting that is. Every day you wake up, you go out your door, and boom, stereotypes just meeting you. And then based on those interactions, people start deducting from those stereotypes like, oh, you can't do this. Oh, you're not this. Oh, you can't twerk. Oh, you know, just taking all that out, you know, from the stereotypes of the Black women. So,
you're right. I just wasn't expecting that one.
I'm just, you know, trying to end there. Sure. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to give a book that made Black women in Europe feel fully seen in their complexity and their multidimensionality. To say, I see you, I hear you. Nobody is allowed to gaslight you. Your struggles are real. How can we now make you thrive? We see you. I hear you now. So now how can I help you move you from survival mode to actual, to an environment where you can thrive and bloom? So that's really the purpose of the book, is to let women know that I see you. I see you. I hear you. I recognize your struggles. I acknowledge you. Now how can I move you from surviving to thriving?
I love that. And certainly it gives us, those of us who are not Black women, an opportunity to see, you know, the characters, see the Black women in our lives and that we run across in clearer and clearer light as well.
Yes.
You know, and that's the
absolutely
beauty of, of having this published and having the impact. How many, I don't want to, you know, ask you how many books are sold, but how many languages and countries is this available in?
Okay. So this particular book, I mean, it's my book that's called Logom, that's in 18 different kind of languages and editions. In Every Man Rushes Black is in German and just English. We're trying to see if we can hopefully get, you know, more published foreign rights. And then Everything Is Not Enough just came out. So we're hopefully keeping fingers crossed for more foreign rights. But In Every Man Rushes Black is now in German. And we're trying to see if we can get more language editions. And then it's the book before that that is in many languages.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's a challenge when you're friends with someone. Sometimes you know a lot of their successes and they all get mixed up in my brain. So next time I'm going to do more better research. For some reason, I had it in my mind that all of your books were in multiple languages.
No. I mean, the first one, Logom is the one that's in like 18, and that's quite impressive, you know, and In Every Mirror is in German as well. And, they're coming.
100%. It's the vision of you. This is the fully, living in the end, with all these. And of course, I mean, there's, you know, just call me when you're casting the movies, so I can be.
Of course, we've got a role for you. So
working out at the gym, I'll be security guard number three.
Exactly. No worries.
And so then it's interesting now that you know Logom has come up. Your first, was it your first book? No, that was actually, was it your first
book? That was my second book. So,
okay. My first book
is actually Due North. Yeah, yes. Due North is my first book, which is a collection of travel stories and photography from kind of over 20 years of travel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm dating myself. Yeah. But Logom is really about deconstruction. I know, right? Exactly. And I was like with my little fingers on the keyboard, like, you know, I did the ink pretty much five. So no, but with Logom, you know, it really is a book that deconstructs the Swedish mindset. You know, what does it mean to be Swedish? You know, in terms of just mindset and culture, and then how does that culture manifest itself in different situations? How does it interact with you as a foreigner? And so all of that. So that was a book that really kind of took the world by storm a little bit. And that's why we have so many different languages. And it's a bestseller. When it came out anyway, it was a bestseller in many countries from around the world. So that's the one that kind of sets the foundation and the expertise for In Every Mirror She's Black and Everything Is Not Enough. Because I think that book established that I know what I'm talking about when I write these novels, right? I know what I'm talking about culturally, because that's the undercurrent in the novels.
Doing a little Swedish inhale there. And so the question then, you know, arises, you know, when do you feel like you're expert enough in these in a culture that you didn't grow up in? I think that's something that people would be asking.
Exactly.
You. Yes. I personally, having lived abroad,
they ask me all the time.
And I was going to say, how are you the authority figure kind of thing?
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about then how you even got to Sweden. I'm sorry, Lola. I have to read a little play.
Yes. Okay, so I think one of the things, you know, is sometimes you can write on authority if you've fully listened to a place. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've written about. I've written an opinion piece titled Who Gets to Tell the Story of a Place? Mm-hmm. And that opinion piece talks about this very thing where me as a Black African, do I get to tell the story of Sweden, at least through my point of view? Yes. I'm fully invested in the culture. I speak the language. I'm raising its next generation. I need to know the quality of the soil I have planted my roots in, you know, my legacy, the future in. So in a sense, for somebody that was born here, the things they take for granted, I don't have the privilege of taking for granted. I need to know, because I need to know on a deeper level how society works, how the mentality works, because I'm raising its next generation, you know. And I always say, especially for mothers that have kids in a different culture, that when they grow up, it's a really mind, like it messes with your mind when your child is speaking to you in a different language that it's not yours, right? It's, you know, so you have to do the work, right? Your child is saying all these things in a language that's not your first language. But you have to fully understand your child, you know. So that those are some of the things that people don't talk about when people move to different cultures and then have kids that are from that place. And then you are catching up with the language behind your kids, right? You know, and so in terms of being a quote-unquote expert, you know, we recently kind of went to Greenland also investigating this question, who gets to tell the story of a place? Because Tete Michel-Pomasi, who was from Togo, African man, wrote with some authority on his experience living in Greenland with the Inuit for many years, right? So for me, that question really comes down to listening. And I always liken it to your favorite song, right? You know your favorite song. You've played it over and over and over again. You can recite the lyrics of that song. You know when the guitar riff comes in and that bit. You know everything about the song. You are not the one that wrote the song. You're not the one that wrote the song, but you know that song because you've fallen in love with that song. Those lyrics have spoken to you on a deeper level, right? So yes, that is kind of how I look at it, in the sense that, yes, I also get to tell the story of a place because I have listened to the cadence, the cultural cadence of the place, the lifestyle lyrics of the place. So.
Oh my, you are such a great storyteller. Good Lord. Goosebumps. Thank you. I really appreciate how you're doing it in so many different ways as well. I mean, yes, the written word, photography, yes. You know, who knows what that's going to turn into as well. And you're giving, but you're also, you know, you've created courses and giving people the opportunity to learn and grow into their own skills as a storyteller. And we've talked about this story before, but how did you end up in Sweden in the first place?
A man.
Hey.
Absolutely no. I ended up in Sweden because I met my ex. That was in 2006, so many years ago. I met my ex. We fell in love. I looked at my parents. I said, and then I moved to Sweden. 2 kids later, 1 divorce later. Again, wonderful guy, great, you know, co-parent and very active dad. But I think sometimes you grow and you have to honor your growth, right? So you have to honor your growth and not trim your roots if you and your partners are growing 2 different directions, right? You have to honor their own path as well if they are growing a different direction, the same way you're going to honor yours. And so that's kind of what happened. We just kind of grew in different directions and stopped trying to drag each other, to the other person's direction. So, yeah. So that's how I ended up in Sweden. And that's how I'm still here in Sweden.
Well, and the direction that you continue growing into and that you've been growing for as long as I've known you has always been towards self-actualization over comfort. When you said that phrase, it really resonated. And that's the thing, like I've never known you to kind of settle for a job with a steady paycheck. I've known you always as someone who has found ways of creating economic opportunity out of the interests that you've had. And so what do you think has been key to that persistence in the face of the challenges of not having comfort and perceived stability.
Exactly. I think two things. First of all, I am very grateful and privileged to have found my purpose very early on. Mm-hmm. So I know what my purpose is, you know, and it really is to make people feel less isolated through cultural connection by letting people feel seen. Because the reason why we isolate each other, we exclude each other, is because we're not giving each other space to be fully seen, to be fully heard. And so that's what I do in my work, whether it's photography, whether it's writing, is how can I bring us closer together, foster some kind of understanding, show us our similarities with the way I tell stories, so you see yourself in me and I see myself in you. And so that's one thing. So once I knew what my purpose was, it reduced distractions in my life, right? So if there were opportunities coming that were dragging me off path, it was easy to say no to those opportunities. It was easy to say no to hawking every single brand because the brands don't maybe align. It's not about, for me, it's not about the hustle and just the collecting of the bag. It's about, does the bag make sense in the purpose of my life? Like, I cannot be promoting, you know, a travel brand today and then the next day is dishwashing liquid and then the day after is like McDonald's. Like, it doesn't make sense to me for my brand personally, right? So that's one, understanding what your purpose is, because then it will bring the right people, the right energy, the right brands, the right collaborations, the right partnerships to you. That's how your voice gets stronger. That's how you build like a brand that is resilient, because the voice stays true. And then also knowing what your strengths are and delegating your weaknesses, right? I know what my 5 strengths are. Those 5 strengths, I know them so well that I've been able to switch industries or just switch different things and be impactful right away because I know my strengths, right? So knowing your strength, focusing on knowing, okay, this is what I'm good at. Okay, these are my weaknesses. Let me give my weaknesses to somebody else who's a strength, right? Mm-hmm. Is my weakness. So that is one of the things. That's one of the things I do, is knowing the purpose, but then also knowing your strengths and delegating those weaknesses.
Delegation. We love that. And then in terms of your own inspirations, because you seem to be very internally motivated, right? And internally aware to the point that you're able to kind of keep to the track. What about other inspirations that may also be signposts and guides for you?
Well, there are so many inspirational people. I mean, not that I'm kissing your butt, you know, you're one of my inspirations, absolutely. I mean, I just, you know, I look and learn from a lot of people. I look and learn from a lot of people across different industries. Oprah is definitely continues to be one of just kind of that example of what it means to self-actualize in a way that then just brings the finances to you, because you're self-actualizing with purpose, you know.
Yes.
It just kind of organically came to, there's so many incredible authors. Just even in the film kind of industry, like Ava, and just people that are really just fully stepping in their power and doing the work first, you know, inspire me. And I'm also human, right? I mean, we're all human. And so sometimes while we are driving, we just kind of rubberneck a little bit, like, okay, what's going on there, right? Once in a while, we do that, but I don't catch myself. But I catch myself because I'm like, I don't need to be hitting the car in front of me because I'm rubbernecking somebody else on a different lane that has nothing to do with my lane, right?
Sure.
So in a sense, knowing when you see inspiration and say, you know what, that's somebody else doing it with maybe after talent, you know, then you're like, then what's keeping you, right?
Yes.
So that's the thing. And it's not shade. It's more of like inspiration to to put the fire on your butt to say you have no excuses to be sitting or to be doing that when you can see people doing more with less. So, so yeah, I mean, inspiration comes from a lot of places. You know, I am, as you said, yes, I am internally driven because I have I'm very grounded spiritually. You know, I really am. So I kind of know what's worrying over, you know, in the bigger scheme of life, right? Yes, our lives are on social media. Yes, we worry about things, but from the very start, I wasn't algorithm focused on or sure. follow account. I don't cry when Instagram changes an algorithm because I do not put my life, like, I don't hold my life at the mercy of somebody, like, in that sense, right? Yes, it's important. But that's not something that will make me feel like, oh my God, everything is breaking or falling around me, you know, and then I have to change everything I'm doing. You know, I put out things that I want to put out. If it connects, great. If it doesn't, great. I wanted to put it out. I feel good about it. That one like is my person. You know, yes. You know what I mean?
I was going to say that. It's really the power of one. Yes, so, the power of one.
So that one like is the person that truly yes. connected, and that's your person. So that is how I move through, and I've always said that I don't worry about relevance. I worry about evolution. Am I evolving to the next stage, natural stage of my life? Right, I am in my mid 40s. You know, I do not compete with the young ones. Like, I don't have to. I mean, I am naturally evolving to where right. I need to be
right.
in my life, you know, and I'm doing it with grace, you know, and I will support and I will continue to uplift and continue to be almost like a guide of sage, you know, to people coming along the path that others have carved for me and that I'm also carving for the next generation. But to feel like I need to change up myself to stay relevant doesn't make sense to me. I think I would rather focus on where am I evolving naturally as a storyteller. Oh, this phase of my life, it's about writing novels. Okay, lean into that. Love that's that. Where your evolution is because you're supposed to reach other people this way. So that's what I think about when I process where I am in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and listen, I think one of the things you touched on was just kind of being a guide for others, being a source of inspiration. But you've always been that, even when we were, you know, little youngsters on the blogging block ourselves. Wow. You know, it's in you. That's yes. You've always, you know, you've always been that way. I've always had kind of like the educator's spirit, and it was yes. kind of inculcated in yes. me simply because my parents were teachers. It was just what,
yes.
you know, it's what I was around. And so that to me indicates you have, you grew up with love in your yes. family. You know, you grew up with guidance and with, yes. and you're able to carry that forward.
Yes.
Not that it's required. Some people didn't grow up with that and have that yes. still within them.
Yeah.
But yours has been so fully realized, I feel like, over the short few years that we've
known each other. I know. No, that's but you know, I call it an abundance mindset. You know, mm-hmm. I move from a space of abundance, a mindset of growth, and I don't move with a scarcity mindset because the scarcity mindset says you have to be the only one killing it,
sure.
so everybody can look to you. And I'm like, then that's a small pond. I'd rather go to the ocean because sure. remember the fish is still the same size whether it's in the pond or in the ocean. It's still the same size, but you got more space and room to grow and move yes. around and meet other fish and be inspired and join a school of fish and keep flowing, right? So that is how I look at it. It's I don't do big fish in small pond mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I do big fish in big ocean because the fish is still the same size. You know, you're still the same size. You just need to go where you can breathe and move and grow. Why are we circulating in the same dirty pond? But okay, why are you circulating the same dirty pond? Move to the ocean, or into like a bigger space, a river, a stream, somewhere where you can try.
Yes, yes. Sitting here with this grin because I love how you bring in a proverb. The last time we had a discussion, it was there's enough sky for every bird. And when I tell you, I have been saying that every other week to somebody, and I attribute you.
It's my tribe, right? I come from Yoruba. I'm a Yoruba. That's my tribe from Nigeria. And we speak in proverbs, and it's a language of metaphors. So everything is we speak that way. It's something I really bring. And I think we're, a tribe of storytellers. Nigerians are storytellers. So we bring that into the language, into the way we break things down.
I think the other thing that it's really kind of highlighting for me is, one doesn't become a sage overnight. One doesn't become like a wise, but like, and you've been saying these things, you heard them when you were five, you probably were repeating it to other kids on the playground. Like,
exactly.
The fish is the same size in every pond. Like, goldfish with your the wisdom of the ages, you're 10. Those things, it's a blessing to have had exposure and access to this knowing. That's what it is. It's knowing. It's not even belief. It's correct. You don't have to try. It's like innate.
Yeah.
Correct. We're wrapping up just sadly. This had to be a short call. However, you've got opportunities that you, again, have presented to people for them to learn how to be amazing storytellers in terms of visual storytelling, photography, as well as writing. What are some opportunities that people can avail in order to engage with you more and learn and
grow? Absolutely. I mean, I am a photographer as well, and I take people around the world. I have my own branded travel photography experiences. We just sold out our Northern Lights experience, which is traveling in February. We're going to go shoot the Northern Lights. And in addition to that, we're going to go reindeer sledding, spend some time with Sami culture, Husky sledding, snowmobiling, spa experience, and swimming in cold ice water up in Northern Sweden. So we've got lots of those kind of experience. I just got back a few months ago from Mongolia, again, another photography experience, Croatia, and we are planning one to Mauritius. And you don't have to be like a professional photographer, because what I'm teaching you is how to see the world differently with new eyes, and then capturing that and then developing your visual voice as a photographer. And of course, I've got my academy, which where I've got courses on how to become a better storyteller, how to sell your photography, how to pitch. So lots of things coming down the pipeline, including a book tour. We're actually going around the Nordics on a Nordic book tour. So lots of things that all align with my purpose, and I am truly proud and humbled and privileged to be able to do.
I am always in such awe of you, Lola, as not only a creator and a storyteller, but as a human being. We laugh and joke and talk about, our personal stuff. But but it's also just so phenomenal to step back and to just, kind of watch you do you. That has been and is an absolute joy and privilege and pleasure. So thank you for showing up fully.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I think that's also what you just said is a really important point for other people, is to just do you, right? To do you, and that doesn't mean to be self-centered, but to do what feels right for you, to do what moves your spirit. Not worrying about what you need to be doing for validation, but just do you, not in a selfish way. But then that's when the right people come to you.
That's right. Be the center of your own universe, and everything is gravitationally pulled to you. How can people find out more and connect with you?
So I am quite easy to find. It's just Lola Akimade AKINMAD. Just type it in and Google brings something up.
All right. And so yes, and when people want to, is there a direct link for people who want to go on your journeys with you?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So just if you go to akimade.com, that's my kind of landing page. And from there, you go to the academy, you go to the portfolio, you go to the books, you go to the photography. You go to all the things I'm kind of like putting out in the world.
That's right. Bloomingdale's. I didn't want to say the mall, right?
Exactly, it's all there. Go shopping, you see everything.
It's all there.
You got everything. Exactly.
Rodeo Drive.
It's there.
All right, no, Lola.
But I'm easy to find, and so I'm easy to find.
You are incredible and amazing. And thank you again for every single moment and minute that you share with us. It is not taken for granted. And yes.
Thank you so much. And you are simply a joy. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Lola Akinmade, thank you so much again. And until next time, lady. Take care, everybody.
Meet you at Bloomingdale's.
Yeah. Make it Bergdorf Goodman.
Oh, exactly. Let's do.
Welcome back to the Flybrother Radio Show. As Lola mentioned before the break, you can find out more about traveling the world and becoming a better storyteller at lolaakinmade.com. That's LOLAAKINMADE.com. And on Instagram and X at lolaakinmade. You can watch this episode of the Flybrother Radio Show at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/c/flybrother. Fly with us by signing up for the weekly Flybrother newsletter at flybrother.net and connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/flybrotherfly and on Instagram at flybrother. Please share any questions, content, or stories that help me help others thrive. And if you feel so moved, please share this podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Flybrother Radio Show. Have a phenomenal weekend and an amazing week. Ciao, ciao.